The federal government recently announced investment through the Atlantic Canada Opportunities Agency, ACOA, amounting to over $3 million into St. John's tourism and culture sector. The announcement was made by St. John Kennebecasis Member of Parliament Wayne Long at the Imperial Theatre on Tuesday, June 30th, highlighting funding towards Envision St. John, the Canada Games Aquatic Centre, and the Imperial Theatre itself. The other recipient is the New Brunswick Museum, which is based in St. John, to contribute to its ongoing major refurbishment and expansion. Local 107.3 FM spoke with Brent Sutty, Chief Operating Officer and Director of Research for the New Brunswick Museum, about the progress of the expansion project and how the federal investment will aid it, as well as the overall value of the museum to the city and the province as a whole.
Very thankful to the Government of Canada and ACOA for providing some funding to really help out with a lot of the kind of behind the scenes early preparatory work that actually has to happen for a project like this where we're working on a heritage building. So some of the funding is tied to some of the restoration work that has to happen to the historic 1934 building. The building's being kept essentially in its original form, but there is a lot of work that needed to happen to the exterior masonry, but also to some of the interior spaces. So this is mostly for the exterior fit up. This will help us with the exhibit design. And this specifically addresses some funding gaps where the money that's been provided by the provincial and federal governments previously was mostly for the planning and a lot of the design work and then the construction. There's a lot of these other things that obviously need to go into it that this funding is specifically targeted for. It also really promotes the engagement with New Brunswick communities, both Indigenous and other descendant communities, to ensure that the New Brunswick Museum really tells their stories, that this gives people an opportunity to tell their story and also see themselves represented from across the province. As the provincial museum, there is that obligation and privilege to be able to tell the stories from around the province, and this just helps with some of that work as well. In addition, there's a lot of on-site monitoring work and things, environmental monitoring work, that this also helps out with some of our Indigenous partners as well. It also does cover some of the move costs. So as we've made this transition from Market Square, we had a number of facilities around the city. Those have all been consolidated into our Lancaster Avenue facility, our interim facility, which we intend to probably keep on long term, just because it works so well for the museum to have a site for fabricating exhibits, those kind of things.
Are you still seeking funding, and what are you pursuing to cover?
Absolutely. So the funding that was announced, the provincial and federal funding, was about $107.9 million. The project in total is around $140 million. And so there is a fundraising component that's been going really, really well. We've had a lot of corporations and community leaders come forward to support the project, but that is ongoing. We've still got a target there of multiple millions that we're still trying to raise, but things have worked really well up to this point. We also do have some opportunities at different levels for folks who want to help. We announced 2 months ago the One Seat, One Story program, where folks can actually sponsor a seat in the auditorium of the new museum. There'll be a QR code on the back of the seat, which will take you to a page that'll tell you about the individual that the seat is donated in honor of. If folks want to find out more about that, they can visit those through our website. There's lots of opportunities there to contribute at whatever level folks are comfortable with, but also just find out more information about the project.
If there's anything else you want to add about what the expansion and refurbishment actually entails and how this will benefit the city as a whole as well.
The museum curates about 6.2 million items. It's a huge collection that belong to the people, to First Nations, to the, you know, really the people of the province. And one of the biggest challenges of the project initially has been ensuring that all of that material is really in a form that's ready for exhibit, but also that the public can actually access this. Any museum collections, typically 1-2% are ever on display of the total collections. The way that the new museum has been designed, there will be the opportunity for people to come in and tour into the collection spaces as well. And so accessibility has been the part that the museum and the museum staff have really pushed from the beginning. So a visitor coming to the museum in the future will be able to really see the depth and the breadth of the collections that represent their stories. They will be able to visit the labs where the work is happening. Then in the proper museum spaces, there will be 10 exhibit spaces telling, you know, what we hope the New Brunswickers feel are their most important stories. also stories about New Brunswick's place in the world, its connection with commerce, these kind of things, but also trying to do it in a very immersive and interactive way that it's, you know, it's impactful, it's emotive, and it changes often. That's the other thing we're building into this, is the ability for the exhibits to be easily rotated through so that the public, every time they come, we're hopeful that they'll be able to, you know, have new experiences every time they come back to their museum as well.
I'm not sure if you touched on it on kind of timelines at the moment, when it's looking at its completion and opening to the public.
Absolutely. Currently, what we're working through the largest group of our tender packages. This would basically take us through about 80% completion. Obviously, that's an opportunity for us to look at our timelines, look at our cost projections. But right now, we're still looking at a 2028 completion for construction and hopefully an opening there as well. The foundation is probably being completed over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then there will actually be the ground floor being poured, and then the structure will build up quite quickly from that as well. Through our excellent consultants, we've done a really, I think, great job of keeping things on target and on both budget-wise and schedule-wise, despite some of the challenges like tariffs and these kind of things. And so Ellis Don and Diamond Schmidt are two prime consultants. I've been really great at trying to identify where those risks are and try to plan around it as well.
I wanted to ask a little bit about sort of the importance of the cultural and tourism sector to St. John, to the province as a whole, and how the museum itself, the importance of
it. Absolutely. So as Canada's oldest continuing museum, you know, it really speaks to how important folks felt as far back as the 1840s, that chronicling their history and telling the incredible stories that have happened over the last 650 generations that people have been in what's now New Brunswick. We did, as part of this project, actually have an independent assessment of the value of these investments, and both the impact of the museum as an operator in and of itself, but also the associate benefits to the other tourism operations. The annual impact of that was about $20 million when the museum is up and running, which shows there's a really good return on investment for a project of this scale. But also, as an employer, the museum not only employs a staff of about 50 at its peak when it's in operation, there is also, we rely on a lot of the industry partners locally. The museum would look at about 60,000 visitors per year when it was open previously. The museum, as it's designed right now, is looking at between 100 and 130,000 visitors a year. Obviously, there would be that benefit to other operations in the area as well. In that original building, there will be our library and archives, restoring the original reading room that would have been there to its Edwardian beauty using most of the original fittings. There will also be teaching spaces in there, but the whole space is really envisioned as not just a museum, it's a public space. So if any of your listeners were to arrive at the museum, they have the option to come in and just recreate. They can basically go the whole way to the rooftop, where there would be a lookout over the St. John or the Woolstook, or actually looking out over the harbor. There's a cafeteria on that level, on the rooftop. But essentially, without a ticket, folks would be able to come in, they'd be able to access that. They'd also be able to access the labs, be able to see the work that's happening, and see some of the public galleries that are there. And then there's also a demonstration gallery where we intend to have artists in residence. We intend to have staff where they're working on very technical projects, say an art restoration or something like that. But that could actually, that's in the open space without a ticket, and people could interact with those experts when they're doing their work. Really, the intent of the whole space is to make it as available to the public as possible when they come in to see all the work that happens at the museum on a daily basis, but also to be able to actually immerse themselves in those experiences.
Updates on the museum expansion, as well as the economic impact assessment, can be found at nbm-mnb.ca. If you have a tip, an idea, or story you think the community should hear about, you can contact Local 107.3 FM at iona@cfmh.ca. This is Iona Co for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.